Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Friday, I was invited and went to give the closing talk of a series on the relationship between Christian faith and psychology and things like this. And my talk was in particular talking about how mental illness intersected with holiness and how that went about. And I said a number of things that I think people found somewhat surprising, and I'll get to one of those later in the homily. But I bring this up because I thought it was a great path into the second reading today. And I realized that I wanted to say some things about the second reading, unpack the second reading in a way that may not be immediately evident to us. Okay? So let me look at what's going on in the second reading here, especially at the end. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That doesn't just mean that God loves us no matter what. It means that we're united to God's love when we're in the state of grace. It's not just that God is like looking at us and like, hey, he's cute, right? We're united to God's love, and no creature can force us apart from God's love. Now, we can force ourselves apart. Notice we're not on the list that Paul gives, right? We can separate ourselves, but literally nothing in all the created world can separate us from God. Do you hear me? Okay, now let's break down the actual consequences of that. Yesterday I was really tired. Sometimes I'm really stressed. Sometimes I'm depressed. Sometimes I'm hurting. And I know I'm not the only one. And I'll go and I'll pray and I'll feel nothing. But that doesn't separate me from my relationship with God. Sometimes things are busy. Sometimes I can't do everything for God that I want to do. Sometimes I'm sick, just occasionally, you know. Sometimes just emergencies happen. That doesn't separate me from the love of God. Sometimes I'm angry at Him. Sometimes I'm scared of Him. That doesn't separate me from the love of God. Depression, anxiety, trauma, nothing separates us from the love of God unless we choose to separate ourselves. That doesn't mean these things aren't important, because they're very influential on our choices. But, dear brothers and sisters, I need you to hear this, because this proclamation of the second reading is something that we can, and then we live completely differently. Right? And I want to say that this second reading gives us both an incredible consolation and an incredible gut check, too. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so the consolation is, no matter what happens in my life, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter how my day is going, no matter how stressed I am, no matter how weak I am, no matter if I can't pray the way that I'm used to, none of that matters. None of it can separate me from the love of God. Today, if we weren't celebrating Sunday, we'd be celebrating the Feast of Our Lady, Queen of the Angels. St. Paul even talks about the angels, the principalities. You know, we're not the top of the food chain, y'all. There are angels, archangels, authorities, principalities, powers, dominions, thrones, cherubim, seraphim, whole legions of creatures above us. The mathematical majority of them are good, but a significant portion are evil, and we call them demons. They're much smarter than us, much more powerful than us. And they can't force us to be separated from the love of God. There is no power under heaven and no power in heaven except God, if he chooses to separate himself from us, that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So that's an incredible consolation. On the other hand, it's an incredible gut check. Because, you know, how many times have we said to ourselves, well, I just couldn't help it? How many times have we said to ourselves, or said to me in that box back there, well, Father, I committed this sin, but you know human nature. Or I committed this sin, but it was a rough day. Or I committed this sin, but, you know, my neighbor was getting on my nerves. Or I committed this sin, but look at where the nation is today. Or I committed this sin, but think about our politicians. Or I committed this sin, but I want you to understand that bread costs $700 a loaf now, Father Sin said. If there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, neither do we have any excuses. Now, I want to clarify something, because people still don't really get this in their head. You know, there are things that happen that are bad, but they're not sinful because I didn't choose them. Okay? Like, you know, if I'm driving down the road and my brakes go out and I hit somebody, that's bad. But it's not a sin because it wasn't my choice. Do you understand? So yeah, sometimes circumstances make bad things happen, but circumstances can never make us choose bad things. And our relationship to God is in our will. And insofar as we don't choose something, insofar as we are not free, it is not sinful. And therefore, it does not separate us from the love of God. And I know people still feel what they feel. But you know, I mean, in the confessional, people are, you know, Father Sensat, I missed Mass for the past month. Oh, why? Well, I was in a coma, but I feel really bad about it. Okay, like, look, y'all. All right. That's not a sin. Okay. Not a sin. So we need to hear that too. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Only our choices can separate ourselves from the love of God. And therefore, even if bad things happen, and we may feel bad about them, that doesn't mean that they've separated us from God's love. I want to draw one consequence of that too. It's something I tell people, and they're always a little surprised. I've told you from this pulpit before, but it's something that bears repeating. Our relationship with God is in our will, okay? I've said this like 15 times in this homily, all right? Our relationship with God is in our will. Now, I want you to think about the sin that you commit that you hate the most. Think about the sin that you despise yourself for committing. Think about the sin that you annoy yourself with and you're like, why do I have to keep on confessing the same thing over and over again? Think about the sin that you're fighting against. Think about the sin that you would give anything to be free of. Think about that sin, the one that you hate the most. And hear me when I tell you that that is your least dangerous sin. Because the sin that we commit unwillingly, the sin that would be gone if we had our way, is the sin that least endangers our relationship with God. Because our relationship with God is in the will. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need to fight it. It doesn't mean it's not a big deal, because as soon as you start shrugging and saying, well, it's not a big deal anymore, then it becomes really dangerous. Okay. But the sin we beat ourselves up for is far less dangerous than the sin we claim is no sin at all. Than the sin we say, God doesn't really care. Than the sin we say, look, that's just the way life is. Than the sin that we defend as maybe a virtue or a good thing. Well, I know the church teaches this, but I know that in this situation, this is what's right. Because our relationship with God is in the will, and if we willingly, freely, even lovingly choose sin, then that's going to be something that endangers our soul far more than the sin we hate and fight against. And to give you a biological analogy, which is worse? The sickness that the doctor sees and treats aggressively, or the sickness that goes undiagnosed? Now I want to circle back to this idea of mental illness and holiness. Because even with these kind of principles in mind, people's imaginations still don't always catch up. My imagination doesn't always catch up. So I'm going to tell you this. The current statistical estimate, the latest one that I could find, is that 1 in 7 people suffer from psychological disorders of some kind. 1 in 7. It's like 7 of 7 up here, but in general, 1 of 7 people. Right? 1 in 7 people. 1 in 7 people. Which presumably means at least 1 in 7 saints struggled with mental illness. And even when we tell ourselves, oh, mental illness is something that happens to you, oh, it's not totally within your control, oh, it's not something that you can be blamed for, even when we think that, we still picture the saints as never struggling with this. We still picture the saints as totally whole and peaceful and wonderful inside. And some were healthy. Right. St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Francis de Sales, St. Teresa of Avila, if you read about them, you're like, I would really like to have a beer with these people. They are very healthy, normal, solid people. And you read other saints, and you're like, they're crazy. All right, now listen. Therapists cannot diagnose someone they've never met. They can't diagnose someone who's dead because that is unethical. Okay. But look at me. I'm not a therapist. They were crazy, all right? I want you to know that. And the sad thing is that sometimes we treat their mental illness as if it was a sign of their holiness instead of recognizing they're struggling with this. When Margaret Mary Alacoque saw the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that was very beautiful. When Margaret Mary Alacoque ate her own vomit to show her love for Jesus, this was a problem. Okay. This is not something that we should imitate. It showed that she was suffering from something. When St. Benedict Joseph Lebray couldn't stay in a monastery despite being accepted 3 times, he just couldn't deal with being in an enclosed space and kept on running away to live as a homeless person on the street. It's not because he had this magnificent, spectacular vocation that had never been heard of before. Presumably because he had some crippling form of social anxiety. Right? Dear brothers and sisters, no creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which means even the saints had tons of problems and it didn't block their holiness. It shaped it, but it didn't block it. And so today I want you to really pray about that, to really pray about that. To recognize the lack of excuse that we have. The excuses that we tell ourselves all the time. I'm going to read that first phrase that St. Paul says. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life. Everybody focuses on death. Well, I know death can't separate me from the love of God. But how many times do we say, oh, that's just the way life is right now. Our life gets in the way. Our life is busy. Life can't separate us from the love of God. Only we can separate ourselves. So to hold on to that deep responsibility, but also to hold on to that deep hope, that deep reassurance, that deep blessing, that no matter how bad things get, no matter how terrible things are, no matter what crazy emotions or thoughts I have in my head, no matter the turmoil that's in my heart, no matter, no creature can separate us from the love of God. No creature can pry us apart from God's love. God bless you all.